Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning. Wanted to read to you a very familiar passage of Scripture. People know it as the Lord's Prayer. It's not really the Lord's Prayer. John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer, Jesus' great high priestly prayer that he prayed the night he was betrayed. But he gives us a model for prayer that very, very many are familiar with. He says in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, "Pray then in this way, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And then he says this, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Well, it is a great joy for me to welcome to the program a dear, dear friend, June Hunt. She is the Chief Servant Officer of Hope for the Heart. She has written extensively on the issues of the heart and has written a lot and counseled a lot over the years in this matter of forgiveness. And so, June, it is such a joy for me to welcome you to Real Truth for Today.
I love being with you. It's great. Thank you, Jeff.
Well, you know, we met a few years ago, and there was just something, you felt it, I felt
yep.
it, there was just a connection that we had, and I just loved you from day one, and
Thank you. You've
been such a blessing. And I love your writing. I love the fact that you're very practical. You don't sugarcoat things.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, it's not take two scriptures and call me in the morning. You get into the nitty gritty of people's problems. You've been doing that for many, many years with your radio ministry and have helped countless people through your speaking, through your writing. And so it's a privilege to have you today.
It's a joy. I was so excited I was going to have this privilege because I really respect you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Okay, so we were talking a little bit before we began to go on the air about the fact that in the model prayer, there is, we're asking the Lord to forgive us, but then he has in there, as we've forgiven those who have trespassed against us, as we forgive our debtors. And you know, we had said that forgiveness and unforgiveness, that subject, one of the key things that keeps Christians from growing is the fact they're holding on to some hurt, some bitterness mm-hmm. from the past.
When you were mentioning that scripture at the beginning, I thought, I remember many times, at one time, like if I'm speaking on forgiveness, I'll say, how many of you have prayed what is called the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer? Our Father who art in heaven. And as soon as you say that, and then I said, is there anyone here who has not prayed that prayer? No hands. How many of you have prayed that prayer? All the hands go up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so did you mean that prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Were you sincere? And they're nodding their heads, yes. Oh, I said, oh, so what you're saying is you want God to forgive you exactly in the way you forgive others. Is that right? And then they're shocked.
Yes.
Because that's what it says. Forgive us
as we forgive others.
Yeah. And now the heads are going, no. Yeah. They've never thought about it.
Right.
They're just kind of said the words. So the point is, are we able to understand how we can forgive? There are those who just say, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was one of those, actually. Meaning, I was exposed to authentic Christianity. I knew no scripture. And I was stunned by students that I saw who had authentic Christianity. I didn't know they had that. Whatever they had, I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of students, and they had Bibles, and I didn't even own a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know anything about the Bible. But the bottom line is, I did humble my heart. I did pray to receive Jesus. I wasn't sure it was going to work. Then when I did pray that prayer of salvation, my life started changing.
You're 15 years old, is that right?
I was 15. Mm-hmm. And yes, I began to change here, except in one area. Mm. Forgiveness. Mm-hmm. How could I forgive my father for currently hurting my mom at times, being cruel toward her? When I was 14, he beat me because I had challenged him about his women. Mm-hmm. He was an atheist. He said, I'm not a Christian. I don't have to go by Christian ethics. And so I understood. At least he wasn't saying, I'm a Christian, but I'm, you know, harming my wife. Well, the bottom line is, it was very hard for me to understand how this could be right, because, I'll mention one scripture in particular. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance mm-hmm. you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing that, and I thought, how could that be right? Now, see, I'm logical. Mm-hmm. I'm math. Mm-hmm. And math makes sense, and have, you know, with people who like math, they have formulas.
Right.
But
things have to balance.
Yeah, and it because it's logical. Forgiveness wasn't logical to me. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying the Bible's wrong, and I didn't know what to do, so I just kind of put any scriptures that had to do with forgiveness off on the side.
Yes.
I didn't say they were wrong, but my objection was, if you forgive someone, is there not supposed to be an apology or yes. a accountability to say, I was wrong? I never heard my dad ever mention that he was wrong or say that. Mm-hmm. And there was, so I had several things I thought, but in the Bible, there are times when God says, if you do this, you're going to have this repercussion.
Right.
But that wasn't applied to forgiveness. If you forgive, you're not having any, there's no repercussion or responsibility on the part of the one who was the offender. Mm-hmm. So this took, I would love to tell you, it's only a few months. No, it was probably 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so the concept of forgiveness, I think, can be very difficult for certain people. It mm-hmm. was, at least for me. And my thing was, it's letting the guilty off the hook. Mm-hmm. Just letting people off the hook. How can you let the guilty off the hook? Ultimately, I found out it's moving the guilty from our hook, from my emotional hook, mm-hmm. onto God's hook. I got to put that offender mm-hmm. onto God's hook, because the Bible says, and this is key, this is God saying, he says, it is mine to avenge, I will repay.
Yes.
So it's not that they don't have a repercussion, but he, God, is going to deal with that person in his time, mm-hmm. in his way. Mm-hmm. And that took me 10 years to learn. Mm-hmm. But it was vital, because so often we think if we forgive, then you're just enabling a person to continue on in their wrong habits.
Okay, June, let me ask you this. So, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then he goes on to say, if you forgive, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Okay, in the practical, here you are, 15-year-old girl, you trust Christ. He comes into your life. Mm-hmm. He forgives your sin. Mm-hmm. He begins a good work in you. You have this area that it's almost like in the Old Testament, they go and get the promised land, and they're doing really well in the book of Judges until they hit the iron chariots. Mm-hmm. They couldn't drive out the Canaanites who had the iron chariots. And I've said before that there are certain sins that we deal with that are iron chariot sins that can seem like, I can't defeat this. Mm-hmm. I can whip the, you know, the Ammonites over here, the, you know, the whateverites over there, the, you know, Hittites, but these guys with iron chariots. So would you say that for many people, forgiving those who have hurt us deeply, that's an iron chariot that we just don't seem like we're able to get past?
And that is well put. I think there's a mindset. The first time I ever taught on this topic, I asked this large group, what do you think forgiveness means? The first answer I heard, it means being a doormat. Mm-hmm. I was surprised because I assumed that these were Christians, and they probably most of them were Christians, mm-hmm. being a doormat. Well, now, you and I know, if it was being a doormat, then Jesus would have had to been the biggest doormat in the world, because from the cross, while he was being crucified, mm-hmm. he prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, mm-hmm. meaning they didn't even comprehend, those who were his crucifiers, what was really taking place. Mm-hmm. But the point is, when we think about, oh, the second thing that I heard, I besides being a doormat, it means being a weak martyr. Mm-hmm. I thought, a weak martyr? No, it is being strong enough to be Christ-like. Mm-hmm. So finding what the objections are is actually helpful. Mm. I will say that there are those who just say, well, forgiveness is just waiting for time to heal all wounds. Well, Jeff, you and I both know time does not heal all wounds. Mm-hmm. Many times there is a wound that a person has their whole life. Mm-hmm. So the issue is understanding, and this is another one, forgive and forget. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff, if I were to have a machine gun, mm-hmm. or whatever kind of gun, and I go into your home and I literally murder the most beloved, mm-hmm. your family, your precious, yeah, I've now met your son-in-law, who's I'm looking at right now in this
Don't
broadcast.
Shoot Jay.
Okay, so he's wanting to protect you, Jay. The point is there any way you could ever forget if I were to, or anyone were to murder all of your family? Mm. No. That's not even realistic. So, but the Bible doesn't say forgive and forget. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible does refer to himself. I am he who blots out your sins and remembers your sin no more. And it's not that he has holy amnesia. Right. In other words, he puts it away. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of a figure of speech. But the bottom line is, what I found was, it is not letting the guilty off the hook, as I had thought. It's moving the guilty from our hook to God's hook. And that makes all the difference in the world. And one last thing. Yeah. Some people will say, I can't forgive because I have to reconcile. The reviewer of the book I wrote called How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It wrote me and said, I didn't have any concept of good for this book, but it changed my life, and it was because of that. He said, I thought I would have to not only forgive, but also
reconcile.
And he said, you made it clear, forgiveness is not at all like reconciliation.
Yeah, very good. Well, we're talking about the subject of forgiveness from the model prayer. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve. One of my favorite people, June Hunt, the Chief Servant Officer for Hope for the Heart. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to June Hunt, the Chief Servant Officer for Hope for the Heart. We're talking about the subject of forgiveness, because that is key. And the Lord included that in the model for prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the model for prayer. And the Lord was gracious when he was asked the question in the book of Luke, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Then he told them, this is the way to pray. This is the model that you can use. And in that model, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And if we don't forgive, the Lord says, then he will not forgive us. So June, if we explore that a little bit, because we know that just like in your own Christian life, the Lord was working in your life. You were a true believer, but you had that iron chariot sin. You had that area where it's like, I'm not there yet. But the Lord didn't just cut you off at that moment. So he's still working. He's still forgiving. So how do you reconcile that?
God knew that I wanted to yield my will to his will, but rationally I couldn't understand forgiveness, so I needed help, but I didn't talk. I was shut down. Mm-hmm. I was emotionally shut down. I didn't tell people my weird situation of, you know, having a fictitious last name and all these things.
Right.
So I'm since you mentioned the verses immediately following the model prayer, I need to tell you this. I one time had this man coming. I taught singles for about 12 years, the kind of age 30 through 50. And this man started coming. He was about 40 years old, and he was fascinated. I knew he wasn't a Christian. And later he said, June, I've prayed the salvation prayer, but it doesn't work. And but he wanted to be saved. And I said, well, and so I thought, well, maybe he doesn't really know what to pray. And so I explained about salvation. I did what the prayer would be. He said, yes, he would like to. I said, would you be willing to pray that prayer again? He said, yes. Thinking that, okay, we're going to do a restart.
Right.
And at the end, he said, nope.
Oh, wow.
No, I know I'm not saved. And I'm thinking, God, put into my mind, what is the block?
Mm-hmm.
And he's on my sofa at my home, so it's not like some strange place.
Yeah.
Bottom line, I think, oh, is there someone you refuse to forgive? And all of a sudden, his face becomes contorted. It's like this anger. He said, yes, my ex-wife, and she doesn't deserve to be forgiven. I said, she must have hurt you very deeply. Yes, she did. And then I said, well, let me read this to you. And it was right after the Lord's Prayer. We forgive men when they sin against you. Your heavenly Father will forgive your sin. But if you do not forgive their sin, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sin. So I said, I want you to see, on occasion, a lack of forgiveness can be a block to salvation. I said, do you understand? Because I repeated the scripture. He said, yes. And now he's just in thought. And finally he said, and he stood up, I refuse to forgive, and he stomped out of my home, and I never saw him again.
Wow.
9 months later, I was speaking at Prescott Pines, and there were 650 in the audience, and at the end, a woman comes up to me. I know I'm not a Christian. I've tried to pray. Same thing that the other man said. I I prayed the prayer, I know I'm not saved. Mm-hmm. And so I go through to make sure that she understood what salvation was. And then she prayed the prayer with me. We prayed. And she said, no, I know I'm not saved. I said immediately, is there someone you refuse to forgive? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, yes. My husband went off with my best friend. Mm-hmm. My best friend betrayed me. My husband. And they're financially doing so well. Our family is barely making it financially. Mm-hmm. I said, obviously, that was very wounding to you. And she said, yes. Mm-hmm. And then I repeat this scripture, same one that you began with,
Matthew,
Jeff, when you repeated the scripture in Matthew. If you forgive men they sin their sins, when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive your sins. But if you don't forgive, the Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. And she said, oh, well, then I must forgive. And I'm thinking, well, that man didn't. but then she said, okay, I will do that. Mm-hmm. And then she prayed the prayer, not only forgiving her husband, her mm-hmm. ex-husband, but also her former best friend.
Yeah.
And then she said, at the end, she said,
there's peace.
Oh, I know I'm saved because we did the prayer of salvation with that. She said, I can tell I'm saved.
Yeah.
I'm saved. So that scripture is actually a potential to be a block to salvation if you do not forgive.
Okay, so in your situation, 15-year-old June Hunt, when you prayed to receive Christ, you hadn't forgiven your dad yet, but that wasn't a block for you.
No, I mean, I didn't even...
thinking about it.
No, right? He was my enemy. So, and I just thought, how can he be so cruel to my mom? How can he do this?
Yeah.
And so I just tried to do, so it was more like, so I tried to help God out, because I did, if looks could kill, because I learned I couldn't talk to him, I couldn't verbalize anything.
Yeah.
So I didn't, but I would look just like
glaringly at,
don't you see how wrong you are?
Yeah.
Of course, you can imagine how effective I was. Not. I was not effective.
Well, and, you know, truth be told, June Hunt loved her dad. That's why she hated her dad. Because he's my dad. With all his faults, he's still my dad. He's the only dad I have. So there's that connection that's never going to be broken, right?
Well, let me just say, he wasn't even on the scene he would come into our home where we lived, and then when I was 12, we moved into his house. And so, I knew he was my dad, but it's not like he was never fatherly. I never sat on his lap like that I would remember. I will say this. I didn't know what to do with the scripture about love. Love your enemies. Mm-hmm. Pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5:44. Love. And I thought, well, that's impossible. Nobody can love their enemies. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know what you know. The word love, agape, mm-hmm. isn't a type of emotional love.
Right.
It is, agape means, and it's when God is love. We read God is love. He is agape. Agape does what's best for the other person,
mm-hmm.
regardless. And so when I finally learned about the four different loves, and agape was the highest form mm-hmm. of love in terms of, it's not emotion, it's devotion. You're devoted to that person to do what's in their best interest.
Mm.
And so I thought, okay, what could I do that's in the best interest of my dad? And I'd never thought about that, because my focus was to try to convict him, which, of course, I didn't at all.
Right.
And so I thought, okay, he's always putting aside, I mean, he's always at the dinner table saying, where's my address book? Where's my address book? And he'll bark out these things. And I thought, I'll find it, and if he should say that at dinner. So I go and find it in his bedroom. And I think, okay, I know what to do if he's saying, where's my address book? I said, well, sure enough, during dinner, where's my address book? He was the president of a company, a very large company.
Right.
And he could call whoever he wanted at whatever hour of the day or night. But the bottom line...
Your dad was J.R. Ewing, basically.
So he did his... Where's my address book? And so I said, I know where it is. Very softly, I know where it is, Dad. I'll go get it. So I leave. I slip out of my seat at dinner. I go and pick it up from his bedroom, bring it back, and I just placed it by his side. And I didn't say anything. And he looked at me in a very strange way. He's, why is June doing this, you know? But he didn't say anything. But my focus now was, what can I do that is in his best interest? Mm-hmm. And later, I went to him. A man said to me, June, what percentage wrong do you think your father was? And now I'm here, like, 10 years later, I'm a youth director, college and career director, a question had been asked at the Republic National Bank building. A man was speaking. There were 300 people. How many of you think you're the exception, that God understands your situation, so you don't need to forgive? And I raised my hand.
Yeah.
There were four of us in the group.
You're being honest. You're not being funny.
No.
You're being honest.
No. I thought God understands my situation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the four of us, we don't know each other. You know, I didn't know any of them. And this man came up to me afterwards, and he was a doctor, a fantastic Bible teacher, by the way, that I used for my youth leaders. And so he said, I saw your hand go up. That was about your father, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes. And he said, well, June, what percentage do you think your dad was wrong, and what percentage do you think you were wrong? I went, oh, I've never thought of that. And I thought, well, never thought about me being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, well, I would say he's 98% wrong. and I would be 2%. And he said, well, aren't you responsible for your 2%?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am. But I don't even know what the 2% is. He said, well, he'll tell you.
Right.
And so, sure enough, I think, God, where have I been wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, as a youth director, I had told the students and the leaders, the most difficult thing for a parent is an ungrateful child.
Oh, wow.
Children don't know. They had no concept of the sacrifices parents make.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea of all the things that were done in their behalf. And so it was to be aware, well, I had taught that. And then now I'm thinking, an ungrateful child. I thought, well, what, have I been ungrateful? And I thought, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've never thanked Dad for a roof over my head, for books for school, for food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to him and I said, may I speak with you? He was sitting down he had a newspaper, and he just looked up. And I said, Dad, I have been wrong. I've been wrong because I see now I've been an ungrateful daughter. I've never thanked you for the roof over my head, for food on the table, for books for school. Would you be willing to forgive me?
Mm.
Now he's just looking up at me, and he doesn't say anything. And finally, he says something very uncharacteristic. He said, "The pleasure was all mine," and then he looked right back down at the newspaper and kept reading. I thought, you mean there's no discussion, nothing, no interaction? Then there wasn't. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, I did what I needed to do. And all I can tell you is, for some reason, he changed toward me. My two sisters would tell you today, June, our father always targeted you. You were always blamed for everything. Mm-hmm. He told me multiple times, you're the cause of all the problems in our family. Mm. And what it was is I was my mom's protector.
Right.
That was the main thing.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is I needed to be aware I was wrong.
Yeah.
And I needed to ask forgiveness.
Amen. We're talking about the subject of forgiveness with June Hunt. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to one of my favorite people, June Hunt, the Chief Servant Officer for Hope for the Heart. And June has great resources. She has been used by God for many, many, many years to help lots of people with lots of problems. And a big problem that we've been talking about is the problem of forgiving those who have hurt us and hurt us deeply. June, we had a counselor that was on our staff, Ada Ferguson. She's with the Lord now. And you and Ada kind of look alike. And so I think that's why that drew me to you, because I just had such a great relationship with Ada, and looked up to her so much. And she was a counselor, so she helped people. But you have, with your ministry, talking to people, being so kind and gentle, but not letting them off the hook, you know, because mm-hmm. if you're going to get somebody, do you want to get well? John chapter 5. Mm-hmm. If you want to get well, you have to deal with the stuff that's locked away in that emotional closet.
Mm-hmm.
You have to open that up. And as you said earlier, you know, sometimes when you talk to somebody about their problems, what they initially present mm-hmm. is not the problem.
Exactly.
Okay, so how, you know, you're wise enough to know that, but maybe you didn't know that first starting out.
No.
But then you started seeing, hey, there's something deeper here. Just like the guy that you said prayed to receive Christ, but he wasn't getting saved. You saw their deeper issue is unforgiveness.
Yes, yes. Well, a man contacted me, and he, when I wrote this book called How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. And he said, I'm a book reviewer. First thing I ever received on this book was a book reviewer. I didn't even know about book reviewers. And he said, I didn't really have much thought about this book. And he said, but it changed my life. And I thought, what? What? And so he said, I thought forgiveness meant reconciliation, that it required reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And he said, what you made clear is they're not at all alike. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Forgiveness focuses on the offense, whereas reconciliation focuses on the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness requires no relationship. However, reconciliation requires a relationship in which two people move into agreement. For example, I love the scripture. It's in the shortest, well, I don't know if it's the shortest book of the Bible, one of them, Amos. Mm-hmm. Amos 3:3. It's real easy to remember. 3:3, two threes. Okay. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? The bottom line here is forgiveness is a decision to release the offender. Reconciliation is the effort to rejoin the offender. Forgiveness involves a change of thinking about the offender, whereas reconciliation involves a change of behavior. That's mm-hmm. huge. Behavior by the offender. Forgiveness is a free gift to the one who has broken trust. Mm-hmm. Reconciliation is a restored relationship based on restored trust. Mm-hmm. And so forgiveness is extended even if it's never even earned. Reconciliation is offered to the offender because it has been earned. Mm. And the last point, forgiveness is unconditional. Regardless of a lack of repentance. Mm-hmm. Reconciliation is conditional based on repentance. And those distinctions are huge. Mm-hmm. And some people say, well, wait a minute, aren't you supposed to reconcile with everyone? No. Let's say, and you have talked with people who, let's say it's a wife whose husband has been violent. The Bible says, in fact, it is so important that it's Proverbs 22:24, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. Mm-hmm. So a wife has the opportunity to move out of harm's way. Mm-hmm. Based on Proverbs 22:24.
June, what would you say to the listener who says, okay, so I have this husband or this dad, this person in my life, and they've hurt me deeply, and they continue to do it on a regular basis. And so just when I feel like I've forgiven them for X, then here comes Y and here comes Z. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just like ongoing. And that, mm-hmm. that describes a lot of women in a bad relationship with their husband. You know, your mom was like that. Okay, so yeah. She's married to this guy who's cheating on her constantly, yeah. is physically abusive to her. How do you keep going with that?
Well, very candidly, I did kind of confront my mom. I said, Mother, you heard what he just said to you. He left the room, and he was cruel. And I said, how can you be kind to him? How? Because she was being kind. And she said, oh, honey, he doesn't know the Lord. If he only knew the Lord, he wouldn't be that way. Mm-hmm. That totally changed my paradigm. Mm-hmm. In other words, what I'm saying is, she's not focusing on his fault, she's focusing on his need. Mm-hmm. His need is to have a changed life through Christ. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, I started doing literally, it's pray for those who persecute you. Mm-hmm. That's what the scripture says, pray for those who persecute. So I start praying for his salvation. Mm-hmm. Mother had been doing that. And you know, you can't pray for someone consistently without having a loving concern for them.
Right.
And so, in fact, it was very unusual. My mom had friends, there were couples that would come to my parents' home. And he loved these couples. All the men were saved. Every one of them. All these husbands. Not only were my mother's friends, and that she was invited to join this group of 10 mm-hmm. couples. And they called our home, the clubhouse, because that's and everything took place there.
Yeah.
There were several singers, and they would sing and do these it was
and your dad went along with that?
He loved it. I mean, he loved music. Uh-huh. And so they would sing, and they did parodies, and they would write uh-huh. funny things. And then they would sing Christian songs, but these were really soloists. And he loved it, and he knew they cared about him. Mm-hmm. See, because every one of them was praying, and this is unique, and I know this is not normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not, I don't assume this is the norm, but this is what happened within our home. And I would watch how, and the men would come up to me and say, I'm praying for your dad, mm-hmm. praying for your dad to come to Christ. And I mean, these were accomplished men, and they didn't have any designs of trying to get something from my dad.
Right.
Yeah, but I was very impressed. In fact, what I have often said is it was really my mother who nurtured the soil of my father's heart, because she was consistently forgiving. Now, I want to say something about kind of the repetition of what when there is wrong taking place. I'm going to do it this way. The Bible, when you think about forgiveness, it means dismissing a debt. Mm-hmm. Dismissing a debt. So let's say, Jeff, this man comes to you and says, I have this medical bill, and is there any way you could loan me this amount, and at the end of the month I can pay it back? And so you do. Mm-hmm. And you, out of the kindness of your heart, you do this. Of course, it's the end of the month and the beginning of the next month, and you don't right. see him, and he's not. And you're thinking, Now, let's say he comes back to you and says, I need tires on my car, and I have to have it for my work, and I need four, you know, would you? Now, you could be an enabler.
Right.
So an enabler, what is an enabler? Enabler allows a person to continue on in their dysfunction, whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
It'd be like if your son has a drug habit, and you keep funding mm-hmm. him. Oh, but he needs money for food for right. school or just to eat.
Sure.
Well, if you keep giving him money, guess where that's going?
Mm-hmm.
To the drugs.
Right.
So that is being an enabler, and that is not wise. The good news is the Bible doesn't tell us that we always give every time we're asked to give. Mm-hmm. And that what I'm saying, therefore, is yes, we are to release our resentment. Forgiveness is two R's, release your resentment and dismissing the debt.
Mm-hmm.
Two D's. So it's easy to remember, two D's, two R's. Mm-hmm. And the point is, we are to forgive, but that doesn't mean we continue to financially forgive a debt when every time that person is unfaithful to fulfill their part of the agreement. And I'm saying that because some people think you're just being a doormat.
Well, with your mom, if you had been experiencing what she had experienced as a mature believer, would you have said, I can't do this anymore?
There can be a time when there needs to be a separation. If there is, and there was, I learned later, there was physical violence that because I saw, we walked on eggshells.
Sure.
Everybody did. Mm-hmm. But we were given no choices about anything because it was a total dictatorship. So as a young person, you know, I have no choices. As though, like with Mother, I don't know that she believed that she had any choice. Mm-hmm. And the point is, you don't continue to be physically harmed, because there's scripture against that.
Right.
And so my point is, we need to learn and that forgiveness means we release our resentment, we pray, but pray for those who persecute you. See, that's what enabled her. She kept praying for his salvation. Mm-hmm. And 9 months before he died, for the first time, he was willing to pray a salvation prayer with me. I didn't actually think it was real. And all I know is, at the end, I said, would you be willing to pray a prayer of salvation? And he said, yes. And so he prayed, well, he prayed with me. And then I went to Mother. I said, Mom, I need to tell you what's happened, but I just don't know if this is true. Dad has prayed a salvation prayer, but I just don't know. And yeah. So she said, honey, Billy Graham has tried. But she said, he actually prayed the prayer. And she said, he's never done that before. Many people have tried and to lead him in the prayer. And then she said, on Wednesday, there was a man on the front porch with your father and me, and he brought up Jesus, and all of a sudden your father just cut him off and said, if anyone's going to talk with me about spiritual things, it will be my daughter, June. And I'm like, what? Now, this is a shock to me. But anyway, and so now it's only a few days later. It's a Sunday, his birthday. I fly in, and it's at night, and he prays that prayer. She said, if he prayed that prayer, it will be the first time. And what is clear is he said it would be you who yeah. would bring him to the Lord.
Yeah.
And
Real.
I was stunned. I wasn't sure, but now but she was absolutely sure.
Yeah.
So what I say is, don't give up.
Amen.
Don't give up.
Amen. What a great word. Well, June, thank you for being my guest today, and thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. Hey, this is a program that you may need to send to a friend, a neighbor, a loved one, because lots of us deal with hurts from the past and people that we're holding captive, and we need to learn how to forgive. So God bless you. Keep looking to Jesus, and know that the Lord loves you, and he does want to do great and mighty things in your heart, in your life, in your relationships. God bless.